You're listening to the DIY Creative Podcast with Senator Jazz.
Welcome to episode 42 of the DIY Creative Podcast with me, Senator Jez. Friends call me Aben. Some of you can call me Aben. Had some comments recently. If you left those comments, you can't call me Aben. Today we have a very special guest, Phenylalanine Music, Teresa. Teresa, how are you doing today?
I am good. Thank you. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. I need to fess up. I do this every episode. This is actually our second start because I never press record on the first start for some reason. Maybe it's something I was dropped on my head in childhood or something, which is highly possible. But here we are. So that being said, Teresa, let's just jump into things. What got you into music?
Okay. I've always been into music. So it's kind of hard to say, but I just started back when I was a kid. Was super into like keyboards. So I had like a bunch of Casio keyboards and stuff. And I don't know what got me into it, so to speak, but I just love playing it.
Well, that's enough.
Yeah, I mean, trying to make my own stuff, which was really, really hard, was back in the 80s, right? So it was really, really hard when all you have is a couple of Casio keyboards and a dual deck tape recorder. That made some interesting stuff.
Yeah, I know that feeling being a kid in the 80s. I had two passions. One was punk rock and the other was electronic music. So punk rock won because I couldn't afford electronic music back in the 80s. Kids today just don't understand what it was like back then when everything was so expensive. I did have a couple of Casio keyboards, but I mean, the stuff that we work with now back then costs so much, and now everything you can emulate in software, and it's such a different world now.
Oh, it's awesome.
So tell me about how you became known by your artist name.
Well, originally, it was the name of a song. It was one of the first songs that I did, which was actually not that long ago. I really only started like 6 years ago or something, putting stuff out. And that first song that I actually like, for some reason I called it Phenylalanine because, you know, I had a bottle of it sitting on my desk. Just picked this random name. And somehow it stuck. I ended up putting it in iTunes, you know, because I was like taking all my songs so I could listen to them later. I was like, okay, I need something different than my own name because I was also taking piano lessons at that time and I was using Teresa for that. So I was like, I need something different for this other stuff. So I was like, well, I got Phenylalanine, I'll just use that. And it just stuck.
That's pretty cool. And also, things to be thankful for is that you didn't have a box of X-Lax on your desk that day.
Yes. I'm so
that could be kind of runny.
That'd be horrible.
So how would you describe your music? We listened to a little bit coming into the show here, but how would you describe your music if, let's elevator pitch, I guess, for somebody?
Let's see. Electronic, but not dance. It's the first thing that I tell people because they automatically assume it's dance music. Weird. Weird, electronic, non-dance.
That's awesome. Weird and electronic is that's awesome. Do you find that now? You say that you have to tell people it's not dance when you say electronic, one of the things that I talk about quite often on here is just going through distributors to get stuff on Spotify and things like that. When I put electronic in my stuff, I always get lumped in with dance because there's not a lot of genres to choose from when I'm distributing my music. Do you run into that at all, or is it just face to face that you have to make that distinction?
It depends on the platform. Some of them just do have electronic as a general genre. I think it's more in person.
That's pretty cool. When you're composing, how do you normally start your tracks? I mean, do you have a way of getting into your tracks, or is it random? Or
usually I start with bass and drums, and then I kind of go back and forth on that, work that for a while, and then add in little, you know, it's more like sounds that I've created.
And I know that you use Ableton now. I know that you're an Ableton artist. How does Ableton figure into your studio work? I mean, into your workflow? And
well, I just started learning last year, just back in August. Right now, I'm just like excited about it because I had been using Oxy, the app Oxy, almost exclusively. And I got pretty good with it, got to the point where I was really comfortable with it, but it wasn't giving me nearly enough freedom, right? So I was just like, I gotta go. I tried Logic and I just wasn't really that happy with Logic for what I wanna do. So I gave Ableton a try and I loved it. There's just so much cool stuff you can do.
Ableton is a beast of a program. I used Ableton for 9 years, and finally kind of got away from it starting last year, just to try new things. I get what you're saying about Logic. I use Logic for work. I Logic isn't very intuitive to me. It just seems like you have to go through so many hoops with Logic just to get something done, where Ableton, it just, everything flows. I think Ableton itself is almost an instrument. And I'm not talking about like the instruments in Ableton. I mean, Ableton is an instrument in and of itself. It's really cool.
That's exactly how I feel. And I still, I've been learning for a while and I still get like giddy every time. I'm like, you can change this like right now, right while you're playing your music. You can just change it and it's just seamless. It just flows.
Yeah, it's very stream of conscious. It's like, think it, do it, and it all kind of works. And there's so many ways there's so many ways that you can actually use Ableton. It's kind of in that way that you can run into 10 different people that use Ableton, and every one of them will use it a different way.
That's true.
It's an interesting product like that. Do you follow Brian Funk or anybody like that?
I have a little bit.
He's a really cool dude. We're talking about the former Afro DJ Mac. I've done a few collabs with him, and awesome stuff. I mean, he's an Ableton phenom, though. he gives away more knowledge about Ableton than some of us ever will have.
Interesting.
So it's really cool stuff. And so now you mentioned platforms. How do you like to distribute your music?
I have been using Amuse for distributing in all the main distributors at Spotify. Other than that, just Bandcamp.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I put stuff on SoundCloud, but it's mostly like little random experiments.
Well, that's a good question. And for independents out there, My experience with SoundCloud is I park stuff there, and that's pretty much all that happens. What's your experience? Do you get a lot of traction on SoundCloud? Because I know some people get massive traction on SoundCloud. I've never really experienced that. What's your experience been?
Yeah, no, not too much.
Yeah, I guess if you're a mumble rapper, you really got it down on SoundCloud. That's where a lot of them came from, I believe.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly do it just to, like, oh, I want to listen to this later. You know, I'm going out. I want to listen to this in the car. So I just put it up there.
I have my stuff on Bandcamp as well. And sort of like SoundCloud, this is probably all on my side, not promoting properly. But I love how they have, like, on certain Fridays, they'll drop their fee and they'll let you have all the entire purchase amounts of your music. I've never really been able to get a lot of traction on Bandcamp. Others have done wonderful on it. I've never actually been. How's your experience on Bandcamp?
I haven't really done much on Bandcamp, but I really am just starting to find that I really like it. Not so much just, you know, for me, but for buying and for listening to.
Now that's something that I found too. It's like Bandcamp, when you do searches on Bandcamp or you start exploring on Bandcamp, you'll find some really amazing, interesting stuff that you just won't find on the streaming services or even on SoundCloud, because I find SoundCloud is hard to find stuff on SoundCloud.
Oh, it is. It's horrible.
It's almost like the search function there is just you might as well hit random.
Yeah.
Because you never know what.
Yeah, you just get like a bunch of stuff. You're like, I don't want any of this.
Yeah, it's like, how does any of this pertain to what I just put in that search bar? It's like, exactly. What planet is this coming from? But Bandcamp, on the other hand, and the stuff that they promote within Bandcamp, some of the best music that I've heard and that you will not find anywhere else, which is a shame because there's so much good music out there that, it's just under the radar, and people that complain that music that they hear on the radio or that they get on the streaming services, that it's not that great. I'm like, just do a little homework and get out there because there's such amazing music out there, but you have to go find it yourself.
Exactly. And I hear that so much. And I'm thinking I am never going to even get through like half the music that I want to that's out there. And other people are complaining that there's no good music.
Yeah. I have a friend and he has teenage daughters. I have no children. And he was talking about some song, some popular song. And I'm like, no, I've never heard that. And he's like, I can't believe you've never heard that. I'm like, well, I've never heard it. So I can't believe you never heard it. I'm like, Mike, you have two teenage daughters. You hear everything that's on the radio. You hear what teenage daughters listen to. I myself don't listen to anything even remotely popular any longer. It's like, it's not that I don't like that stuff. I'm not one of those guys that says pop music sucks. There's a reason pop music is called pop music is because it's lowest common denominator. It's made for you to get into it easily and enjoy it. It's just, I spend all of my time in the independent realm, finding new artists and, like in this case, trying to get those new artists out there, trying to let people know that there's some great music out there that that you won't find on the radio.
Yes.
So what are some of the things you're listening to lately that you found that maybe people haven't found themselves? I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that. That was an out of left field question. We can just forget that one if you like.
It's just really hard to think of.
Yeah. So when you're creating your music and you're deep in the trenches, you're in the jungle now, you're deep in a track. Do you find that you're trying to get the voice in your head out, or do you find that you're following along the lines of your inspirations or things like that? What are some of your inspirations?
As far as other artists?
Yeah.
I think in the beginning, like, I was super inspired artists like Plaid. Love them. It was one of the things that actually made me want to start making electronic music. You know what though? It's more like I take like little bits and pieces. I don't really follow any specific genres. So it's like I'll be listening to, you know, a punk song or whatever, you know. And I like that little piece right there. I'm gonna use that in my own stuff. Sometimes it's lyrics, which I haven't done too much of yet, but
Do you play out at all? Or, I mean, it's hard to say with COVID. I know, especially in California, they've had you guys locked down like serious for quite a while now, but do you enjoy playing live or have you gone that route?
I never have. I didn't really ever intend to. I'm more into just the creation and then just having it out there.
Well, that's enough.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think people don't understand just how cool it is to be an independent musician these days, because you have to work harder, and depending on what your goals are, it's all on you at that point to make your goals come true. But on that same note, you're not beholden to anybody or anything. You can do whatever the hell you want.
That's what I love. And it's taken a few years to actually get to that point. And we're like, you know what? I have to keep reminding myself, like, hey, I actually can do exactly what I want, even if it sounds like complete noise to someone else.
There's Merzbo.
What?
Merzbo, the king of noise.
Oh, okay.
Japanoise. That's an actual term for a genre. Noise out of Japan, Japanoise. Check out Merzbo. That is pure noise. Not even joking, but he's the king of noise. But he's a massive selling artist, so there you go. You know, if you're looking for inspirations that are noisy, Merzbo's a good way to go.
Pretty good at doing it on my own, actually. So I'm trying to take in more of the, you know, non-noise aspect.
Gotcha.
Pieces, you know?
So you say that that you've been about 6 years now active in getting stuff out. So in that 6 years, I know that you've probably gleaned a little bit of wisdom of things that maybe you can pass on to other DIY artists, especially people that maybe are reluctant to release or just getting started out, or maybe are a little discouraged. Is there any wisdom you can give to other DIY artists out there, even non-musicians?
Oh, well, I would say just do it as soon as you can, because I was scared to death put anything out there. Like, it's never good enough. You know, I'm like, oh, I don't love this, but, you know, but I wanted to so badly just to put out like an album, you know, this thing, right? Like, that was my big goal for the beginning. So I did it. It doesn't have to be complicated. You know, I use a Muse to distribute. It's free. At least I think there's a free option still. Just get it out there and start getting feedback. That's the most important thing. Start being comfortable with it, you know?
I think too many people think that they have to release. Things have to be perfect. And the thing is, once you've been making music or any kind of art for any kind of length of time, you realize after a while, there's absolutely no such thing as perfection. You could sit there and work on something and work on it and work on it and work on it. There actually comes a point where it starts sounding worse. You know, it's like you've tipped the scales in the wrong direction now, but release. The next thing you do, if you're not satisfied with where that was, the next thing you do will be better, because it, you know, it's a building process, but you got to get going. You got to get it out there. And not to be afraid.
Yeah, it helps so much with just to like reduce the anxiety over it.
Well, since you've been releasing now for a while, let me ask you this. And this is pretty specific. And it may not pertain to you, or it may pertain to you. We hear the word a lot, and that's imposter syndrome. Do you have any experience with that? Or is that something that you've been able to avoid?
Really sure, because I guess if you go by the book, then I guess I qualify for that, because I don't think that I'm any good at all. So yeah, I guess I suffer from that.
Well, I think you're good. Just want to put that out there. I think you're good, or I wouldn't have you on the show. But I do see where you're coming from. I think, and this is just me, I want to say that I am not a psychologist of any type. As a matter of fact, most people would run screaming from me if I tried to be a therapist of any type. I find that when I first started, I had a little fear, and that led to imposter syndrome. But once I got over that fear and I started realizing two things, one, people actually don't really care. And two, there's not that many people actually paying attention. I was able to kind of get past it, because then I was just releasing stuff for myself. And if somebody liked it, then that's a cherry on top. But I kind of had it at the beginning, but just got over it when I realized the world isn't really paying that much attention to me. So I can just be free. And that helped a lot. Of course, it always pops back up a little bit, especially if other musicians take shots at me, which tends to happen, you know, especially, I don't know, I guess it comes from an insecurity where other musicians, have you ever been in a situation where you're talking to a musician and a fellow musician, and you almost get the feeling that the conversation is where they're trying to find something you do that they're better so they can point it out?
I don't know.
I run into that a lot. Maybe it's because I play out live. Because generally that doesn't happen too much on the internet or things like that. It happens when I'm playing with other artists out live.
I am unfortunately not around a lot of other musicians, so it's kind of probably doesn't apply to me.
Sometimes that could probably be for the best. It's kind of a one-upmanship. And one of the things I try to get out in the DIY Creative Podcast is we're not playing a zero-sum game. You know, there's no need for the one-upmanship. It should be a promotion, not a competition in the independent scene, because things have been thoroughly democratized now. But some people are still in the competition thing. So I'm so happy you haven't dealt with that, because it gets aggravating.
Yeah, it sounds not pleasant.
Yeah, but it's life, right? It's life. So what do you see in your future of your music productions?
I see, hopefully, once I'm learning more with Ableton, just to kind of like unleash all the crazy ideas that I have been held back by previous DAWs. And I mean, I just want to make like crazy stuff. So.
Well, that's awesome, because too many people don't make crazy stuff. Crazy is awesome.
Yeah, I have no desire to just like copy what other people are doing.
Yeah, you know, well, that's what pop music's for. You know, that's why pop music exists, so that you can have this stuff over here that everybody does the same thing, and every now and then you'll get something like I guess a Billie Eilish that'll come along and kind of change things up. But then over the next 6 months, you start to realize everybody starts to sound like Billie Eilish.
I haven't noticed that.
And then, of course, the next thing drops. And then everybody starts to sound like that. And it's like, man, are they making all these decisions just based on money?
Yes.
Which is another thing you don't have to worry about too much in the independent scene. Money.
I don't have any desire to bring in any money at all.
But you know what? You never know when your weird is going to catch on.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah, that you know, I talked about at one point. See, I've been making music since I was 13, so that brings us back to 1981. Is my math correct on that? Maybe not. I don't know. I don't even know how old I am, I guess. But so I've been at this a while. But how I got into recording and producing is podcasting. Back in 2005, I got signed on with Adam Curry's Pod Show. And when that ran its course around 2010, I had all this recording equipment. So I got into trying to make music. So at that point, I had to teach myself how to record and things like that. It's just, to me, it's just amazing. I kind of lost my original thought on that, but still, I'm just going to keep rolling with this so it doesn't sound like I lost my original thought. I can't believe where we are right now as compared to when I was young, which is nowhere near what my original thought was, but we're just going to act like that was my original thought.
Yeah.
Not working. So, Teresa. Is there anything else you would like to add for up-and-comers or people that may be struggling or just DIY artists in general that maybe you want to pass along?
Like I said, just do it. Just get it out there. You might need to find something new. I know for me, I was never able to create music at all, even though I learned some keyboards, I learned some bass, I learned some guitar, but I was never able to create anything until I found one specific app on my iPhone, and it just literally changed my life.
Well, that's awesome. That's generally how it happens. Oh, I remember my original thought. Hang on. So I got into this through podcasting back in the day, back in 2005, got signed to Adam Curry's Pod Show. And I noticed this really odd thing that would happen. And that is, as soon as somebody got any success, they would stop doing what got them the success. And they started trying to teach other people how to be successful. And the weird thing was, and it's still to this day, and you see it all over social media, you'll see somebody that'll go on social media, they'll develop a following, and then the next week, they're not just doing what got them the following, they're now a coach teaching you how to get a following. But the thing is, nobody really understands how that popularity happened. So that's what I was talking about when you never know when your weird is going to catch on, because you never know when that viral moment's going to hit. And I've seen so many people get that viral moment. But instead of building on the viral moment, they decide then to cash in and try to tell everybody else how to be viral. But they really don't have an idea of how they did it in the first place themselves. It's a weird phenomena.
That is bizarre.
Yeah. And I've seen it so many times. Friends of mine, it's like, okay, their show just took off. Now their show is almost completely about how to get a show that takes off. It's not about what it used to be about. Or some social media is weird like that. That's where I was going with that. But it made more sense in the beginning, back when I almost went down that road. So just wanted to let everybody know, the brain cell catches up eventually.
Yeah.
So where can people find you and your music?
Okay, so Spotify. Benel Lalani. Let's see, Bandcamp. I believe also Benel Lalani. I'm on Instagram as Benel Lalani Music. Let's see. SoundCloud. If you really want to listen to the weird stuff.
Well, not yet. Yeah. Okay. That's actually how we found each other, was on Instagram. I find that is the most, or should I say least aggravating social media service at the moment. It's music and pictures, you know, not a whole lot of politics, not a whole lot of all the stuff that's all over Facebook and Twitter and things like that. I find it's I can go on Instagram and come away and be like, that was fun. But I go on if I go on Twitter or Facebook, and to a point, I'm not a TikTok user, but I kind of try to keep track of what's going on in other social things. I find those other ones just aggravate me to death. You know, it's like,
I love Instagram because you could just post like little, like a clip of your music, and you can get comments right there.
And people really do comment. They actually interact. It's like, you know, I built my Twitter. My Twitter, technically, I have more followers on Twitter than I do on Instagram. But I built that back in the day when I was podcasting. And I can put 100 things on Twitter today, and I'm not going to get a single comment or a single like or anything. Even though I have like triple the followers on Twitter, it's like, nobody pays attention. It's like a shouting platform. Everybody's just shouting. Nobody's interacting. On Instagram, people interact all the time. It's great.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, Twitter is so odd. I'm getting stuff like from a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. That's like all the feed is.
And it's almost never negative. You know, Facebook is negative, I find. Facebook is like, wow, this is aggravating. You know
what? Honestly, for me, I don't follow like any of that stuff on Facebook. I've been so lucky with it. I am in a ton of groups on Facebook, so my whole feed is just like weird stuff that I'm actually interested in.
That's actually pretty cool. I find that generally the stuff that I find that aggravates me the most on Facebook actually comes from friends.
Oh, right.
You know. I'm like, why do I like you? You know, what is it? Why are we friends? You know, this is so wild, but you know, what you gonna do? Well, Teresa, I thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been great talking to you. I hope that, the rain lets up, unless you're enjoying the rain. Wait a second. Actually, we talked about the rain in the first start. We didn't actually talk about the rain on this one. So it's like, I'm like a fortune teller now. I know it's raining in California right now.
It is.
Yeah, I should make money with that fortune teller thing. This happened with Skidmatic, my label mate. We got on, started, didn't hit record, and we talked about something, and then he asked me, could, you know, hey, let's maybe not add that. And we didn't have to worry about it because it wasn't even on the show we recorded.
Cool. You
know, so this happens quite often. You know, I'm happy I didn't reference anything else that we didn't talk about this time.
More interesting.
Yes. All right. Well, everybody, this was episode 42. We have some great music for you to check out. I will leave links so that you can find all of Teresa's work, or at least most of Teresa's work, because let's be honest, we all have shadow stuff out there, right? Yeah. It's an independent thing. I appreciate you so much for coming on, and thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. It's been awesome.